This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, fighting Phils. Let's go, Phillies. Let's go. Right?
We're baseball city. What would you, I mean, what do you expect?
Let's go, Phillies.
No, I'm not going to get too high. We still got seven games we need to win. And so I'm not going to get too high and start celebrating. And, yeah, oh, we
baseball.
Got the, you know.
Baseball season is so long.
We've been heartbroken before. Mm-hmm. You know, as Philadelphia fans. Shoot, I'm still trying to get over the Super Bowl last year. You know, we should have had that game. And so.
Yeah, but you beat Arizona, right? Arizona.
We should. States. Arizona. Arizona is a, yeah. It's, you know, they say don't disrespect your opponent. But if we lose to the Diamondbacks, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, your team, yeah. They got that look, too. They do.
No.
I know we don't talk a lot about baseball, but they got, especially at home, they're like, we got this. Yeah. They play with such confidence. And it's not like they're no good. They're really, really good.
Yeah.
They play with extreme confidence.
Yeah, they're a good team. And Citizens Bank Park, arguably the most difficult place to play in all of baseball.
Bandbox,
if you want to call it that. But the results speak for themselves, Whitey.
Yeah.
That team plays extremely well. And, you know, the crowd gets into it. And I think the visitors, they're a little shook when they come to Philadelphia.
Sure.
And, right, you know, the Niners can attest to that. Mm-hmm. You come into Philly and try to win a playoff game, it's hard to do. And so, yeah, man, that game should be starting here any minute, right?
Yeah. I don't know why it is, but in baseball, left-handed pitchers and left-handed hitters, there's just more aesthetically pleasing the way they throw and swing. But Castellanos has the prettiest right-handed swing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow. Like water.
Just
beautiful swing. Beautiful
swing.
He
embodies what we are, too. And, you know, the thing I like about, you know, this Phillies team, and you called them what, a bunch of, somebody referred to them that they work
like
at a reptile shop or
like
something
they,
like that. No, you know, they're a bunch of grinders, man. They're hard nose, blue collar, you know, don't take any kind of mess.
Do they not have barbers in Philly?
You know what? They do. But you know what's so interesting about Philly? And I'll tell you, I'll let you in on a secret. You know the James Harden beard?
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing in Philadelphia. Like, the beards are big in Philly. And
is that what the Phillies are trying to do?
Yeah, it's big in Philly, man, you know?
Right. I could never
and we call that the freeway beard. Jay know what I'm talking about back there. Yeah, man. So that's what we do in Philly.
All right. Well, good luck. Yeah.
Thank
baseball season's so long. If your team's still playing at this point, good for you. Enjoy it, right?
Yes.
Enjoy it. And then we got the NBA season tipping off next week, Kyle.
Next week. Yes. What's today? Tuesday. So, yeah, a week from today, mm-hmm. the NBA tips off with a doubleheader, and then the Kings play in Utah on Wednesday. And I was telling my son, I'm like, you know, basketball tips off next week. He was shocked. He was like, what? Next week? And I'm like, and he got so excited.
Good.
And I'm fired up, man. I'm so excited. I'm fired up from the preseason as well. I know coming up on NBA TV, we got Celtics-Knicks at the bottom of the hour. So we're going to have to do something with these TVs up in here. But, you know, it's an exciting time, man. I would argue, let me ask you this, because when you look at the NBA, in many years, we always knew it was going to be Lakers, Celtics, Warriors. How many teams, and maybe we got that discussion tomorrow, how many teams legitimately have a shot at a championship this year?
Yeah, what has it been, 5 years in a row with a different
champ? 5 years in a row,
and that's really unusual?
Yes, yes. And so you can argue it'll be a different one this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a number of teams, and especially with the play-in tournament, what Miami was able to do as an 8 seed as well, I think a lot of teams feel like they have a chance.
Hey, did you see what Ben Simmons did last night? He played.
He's been playing well this preseason. Yeah, he's looked good this preseason.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could be a game changer, you know, for that franchise.
Yeah, he was taking the ball to basket, taking contact. He did have 8 turnovers. But other than that, he did.
Giving the ball away 8 times.
That's had like 24 turnovers. But other than that. And he's got like a little turnaround jump shot he's working on. So
they need him, though. because he's the only guy that can really play make. Like, they got some good players. Bridges is nice, Cam Johnson, you know, but he can really make their lives a lot easier. And so I think Ben Simmons, you know, if we want to talk about players to watch for in the NBA, who's going to make a difference in the NBA, a good Ben Simmons, that changes everything.
I have nothing against him. I know a lot of people in Philadelphia are not big Ben Simmons fans, and I understand all that. I'd like to see him find his way again.
I don't wish anything negative on in any player. You know, I would like to see, I think a good Ben Simmons is good for basketball because he's an exciting player to watch when he's playing well.
We don't even have any ill will towards John Hollinger, right?
Who? I told you, I'm not going to mention that Yahoo's name anymore. It's ridiculous. Go ahead, set up the story, White.
Yeah.
Just that the mention of his name gets me fired up.
We talked about it yesterday because it was yesterday in The Athletic that he posted. For some reason, he has like the bottom eight teams in the West. Then today did the bottom eight in the East. Then he'll do the top ones. Anyway, long story short, he's predicting the Sacramento Kings to finish 11th this year, as you probably know by now, in the NBA's Western Conference. So today I just looked up what he had last year.
Yeah.
Last year he had the Kings 10th in the West at 37-45. This year he has them 11th at 39-43. And he kind of tries to walk it back a little bit about how, oh, this is the best team they've had in 15 years. And he says, somebody's got to finish 11th. Literally, the more realistic way to interpret this is that somebody among the 11 West teams that are truly trying this year is going to end up missing the play-in, and that likely will be the one team of those 11 that is savaged by injuries to key players. He says the Kings will be on the fringes of the race. So it's not all terrible, not predicting collapse, but hey, 11th is 11th.
All right, I want to, you know, obviously John Hollinger, I'm not a fan of, right? I'm not a fan of his takes. I'm not a fan of his articles, especially when it comes to the Sacramento Kings. When he speaks about the Kings, I usually tune it out because I don't think he watches the games. But I want to hear what the fans think because I want to have a legitimate discussion about this. Let's do our own breakdown of where we think the Kings will wind up. Let's go team by team and say, you know what? Could they be better this team, or is this team clearly better than Sacramento? I want an honest, open conversation.
Unbiased
conversation about this.
All right.
You ready to do this?
Yes.
Can we do it right now?
Yes.
I'm gonna just look at last year's standings.
You want to get people calling in?
Yeah, yes. Give out the number there.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can call us on that number. You can text us. Of course, you can hit us up on the YouTube chat. What do you got? Kyle just wants to know what you're thinking.
I just
want to
know. Right. Unbiased, objective. I know Kings fans are NBA fans. Where do you see us? Are Sacramento Kings realistically being this year? I know where I have them. I got them as a top five team. And I'll tell you why. I'll go down the list. I think Denver will be better than Sacramento. Jokic, the best player in basketball. Jamal Murray, I think, is finally going to get an all-star nod this season. It would be his first. So I have Denver ahead of Sacramento. I have Phoenix ahead of Sacramento also. I think the addition of Beal, and they got some other key players, some other stealth moves that I like. Everybody talks about their depth and all this. They're actually a little deeper than people give them credit for. And so I got Phoenix ahead of them. I'm just going down the list, not necessarily in order or Phoenix will finish second, third or whatever. I'm just naming teams that in my mind will likely finish ahead of the Kings. Oh, I don't have anything else.
I understand.
I got nobody else, Whitey.
I understand.
Who else?
I got, because I'm on record, I'm going to stick with what I said before weeks ago, and that's fine. I'll stand by it. I got the Kings fifth, I think they win a first-round series, and I don't know if I need to stick with who I said they were going to beat Oklahoma City. I like Oklahoma City a lot as a four. I had Oklahoma City finishing ahead of them. Hey, Denver finishes ahead of them. The Lakers, I think, are going to finish ahead of them. OKC sounds kind of silly, but, you know, crazier
but
things have
you
happened.
Don't have Phoenix, or do you have Phoenix ahead of them?
Well, I'm with – remember we had Jerry on, and Jerry Reynolds was suggesting there he's not that impressed with them. I'm not that impressed by Phoenix. I think they're going to struggle, and I think come playoff time, if they have their house in order, they're going to be a handful. But I think the regular season is going to be a lot of figuring things out. And this guy's hurt, and that guy's hurt. So I think Denver's ahead of them, and I think Memphis. I think Memphis.
Memphis is an X factor, I think.
Yeah, right? I think Memphis is really good. Yeah. And I know that, oh, they don't have Ja for a while, but, you know, they didn't have Clark last year either.
Right.
At the end of
right.
the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really up and coming team.
And they've played well without Ja in the past, too. I know they don't have Tyus Jones really well. Anymore. They got Marcus Smart now to be in that spot.
It's and a good
so
fit.
If you want to say Memphis, I'll give you that. But when I'm looking at the teams behind Sacramento, I'm looking at the standings from a season ago. Are the Clippers going to be better than the Kings?
They
may not.
How many games are big two play?
Exactly. So that's a coin flip. That could go either way.
They're not going to be bad, I don't think.
Yep, I agree. It's all about the health of their two stars.
Your guy, too.
And if they get James Harden, that might make them worse. Who knows, though, you know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so we got the Clippers. What about the Warriors? Are they going to be better than the Kings?
I'm not going to predict they will be, certainly.
Right.
Here's what I think, just real quick, circling back to Hollinger for just a second. Here's where I think he's right. He talks about how the standings are going to be so compressed. And he says the Kings, in his view, they'll be 11, still only a handful of games away from a top 16. And I think he's right about that. And I mention that because as we talk about this, you know, I think the difference is we say, you know, you say who's fourth, who's fifth. That sounds like, wow, big difference. But I think the margins between these teams in the Western Conference, the games back, I think it's going to be really tight.
Really tight. Really,
really
tight.
Close.
No, I agree with you. When you look at last season, three through seven, I mean, they were separated by five games. I think it'll be even tighter this year. You know, when I look at the Clippers, clearly the injury situation, Golden State, maybe they could finish ahead of the Kings. Maybe they won't. Like that, and that's my point. You know, Hollinger has them at 39 wins at number 11. I can't pick five teams that are definitively better than Sacramento. So how is he coming up with 11? And my thing is, and this goes back to the point I always make, these national guys, the Hollingers, the Kevin O'Connors, the Peltons, whoever you want to, you know, anybody for Bleacher Report, they always want to give the benefit of the doubt to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
yet
true.
When it comes to Sacramento, they're looking for reasons why the Kings won't repeat as the 3 seed, why they won't repeat at 48 wins, instead of looking for reasons why they will. How about continuity? How about growth of Keegan Murray? Like, when is somebody going to write that article that, you know what, the Kings finished 3rd, but based on what I see, they could finish as high as 1. I know Wilbon said it on TV, but where's the deep dive on the ways that the Kings can show improvement and be a better team this upcoming season?
You know this as well as I do. A lot of this comes down to this. Hollinger, and he writes about it, and a lot of the other guys, especially the analytics guys, you've said this yourself, they don't believe Sabonis is as good as he played last year. Right?
Right. That's what it comes down to.
And it's not like he'd never been an all-star, but that's why a lot of these guys see the Kings that way. They don't think Sabonis can carry them the way he carried them last
Sabonis
year.
Sabonis is not a analytics darling. He is a 19-12-7 guy. He's a 3-time all-star, an all-NBA performer. But yet, for some reason, I could argue he's the most disrespected player in the league.
Yep.
It's like he's effective. He gets the job done. His impact on the Kings is undeniable, but yet, for some reason, he still isn't getting respect. The Rodney Dangerfield of NBA.
Mm-hmm. We're right back. The conversation continues. I'll also tell you why the Kings really need a fast start this year. As the Drive guys roll on, Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like that beat, Kyle Draper?
I do. That's some ludicrous roll out, if I'm correct, being played right now.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Drive guys here. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Simone running the show right now. We're just talking about John Hollinger, one of Kyle Draper's favorite media members.
My guy.
Yeah, just breaking down okay, he says the Kings are going to finish 11th. One thing to get all upset about that, but why does he say that? What's going on? And it's pretty clear, as we were just discussing, that Hollinger and some other people that, you know, obviously this guy is, he's done analysis for a living for an NBA team, so he's not some dummy. But it's apparent that especially the analytics-driven guys, they don't appear to believe that Domas Sabonis can do again this year what he did last year. And that's one reason they expect the Kings to finish a notch or two below last year.
But
or
they're wrong.
Case,
way.
A notch, what is it, eight notches?
Eight notches, right. It's not, that's the thing. It's not Hollinger, you know, it's not like he said they're going to take a step back. According to him, going from 48 to 39 is falling off a cliff, as far as I'm concerned. 9 games difference. That's a massive difference for a team that, you know, is still young, is still developing, is still, it's not like, I don't think it was a fluke last year. And that's what Hollinger to me is implying, is that, you know, DeMontis, as great as he was, it was a fluke season. No, I think that's pretty much what DeMontis Sabonis is, who he is. He's going to get you 19, 12, and 7. Mark it down once again. De'Aaron Fox has always had the potential to be a great player, and now he's finally realizing that. And so I just don't, you know, it just upsets me, man, that Hollinger would do this. And maybe he has something going on with Kings fans we don't know about. Hmm. Maybe he knew exactly what he was doing by putting the Kings 11th and 39 wins. Maybe he knew he would get a rise out of us, out of the drive guys here. But, you know, to have them behind a Dallas, let's say, or – you know, who else? New Orleans and all these other teams.
Oh, yeah. OKC.
OKC. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's frustrating.
Yeah. There's one thing that he writes here that I think it's just wrong. But before we get to that, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Brandon joins us. Brandon, you're on with the Drive Guys. What's up?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, man.
I just think it's a lazy article. I mean, last time I checked, we had the NBA Coach of the Year still as our coach. We had 2 All-NBA players. We kept all those guys. We added a sharpshooter, MVP from the EuroLeague. You don't really fluke your way to almost 50 wins. And the way I look at it, what's the chances of AD and LeBron staying healthy? Kawhi and Paul George staying healthy? And when it comes to Memphis, no Ja Morant. 25 games is a long time. I think they still don't have Brandon Clark. Steven Adams is getting older. I just don't see where the fall off all the way down to 11 happens. I think it's lazy. It's easy to do. And like you guys said, I don't think he watches the game.
Thank you, Brandon. That's a good point, because at one point in his piece, Hollinger says he doesn't think the West will be as forgiving, and maybe it won't be. But I think Brandon makes a great point. The West could be very forgiving again, because
right.
You got so many of these teams that are relying on older veterans. And he didn't mention the Warriors, but you put them in there too.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at it, outside of Denver, everybody else we're talking about has injury issues. Ja Morant's going to miss 25 games. Phoenix, we know Durant has been hurt. Beal has been hurt. Clippers, we understand that. Warriors, Lakers. So you go down the list. Pelicans, Timberwolves. Karl-Anthony Towns missed a chunk of games last season as well. And so when you start talking about health, and that's the knock on the Kings, is that they were so healthy last season,
yeah,
they can't possibly be healthy this season. That's not based on anything other than, you know, just guessing.
A law of averages.
Law of averages. Yeah. They could have another healthy season, you know. The other teams, the problem is, though, when you look at the Lakers and the Warriors, they have a history of being injured. How come? And so, according to Hollinger's argument, well, they've had their injuries, so they're going to have a healthy season. No, that's not how it works. Those teams have proven to be injury prone, to miss games. And so it's just a disrespect. And like our last caller, Brandon, said, a lazy article by John Hollinger.
What he's overlooking, I know we've talked about this, and I know you know this, and Kings fans know this, the Kings weren't as healthy as they appeared to be last year. They had people playing through injuries. If Sabonis had decided, and you would have been justified in saying, I'm going to have surgery, he would have missed 25 games.
Right.
It was the same. That's basically what happened. And then what? Then the analytics people would say, well, yeah, they were injured last year, so they weren't lucky. It's the same
right.
thing. He just played through it.
So he was injured.
Exactly.
He just played through
exactly.
it. And so, yeah. No, 100% to your point, man. I agree. And it's lazy. And it's based on, like you said, the law of averages. But the law of averages don't always work out. Like, we're right. talking this season. We're taking this season in a vacuum. And who knows? Maybe the Kings will get injured. But I could say the same thing about the Denver Nuggets. You could say that about every single team in the NBA.
Here's where I really disagree with him. He says, the postseason laid bare some of Sabonis' deficiencies as a defender and a floor spacer. Okay, that's what he says. The postseason laid bare some of his deficiencies as a defender and a floor spacer. We already knew that. Kings knew that when they traded for him,
right.
that he's not the greatest defender and he's not the greatest floor spacer. I don't think it was any, oh, look at that. I mean, they overcame those deficiencies in his game last year. They dealt with those all year long when they won 48. It's not like all of a sudden, ooh, look at that. He's, look at that, we didn't know that, he can't do those things. No, those have been issues for him. He's a very willing defender, but I disagree with this notion that, well, we thought he was great, but then you saw what he's really like in the playoffs
right.
last year.
And I don't think
that's not what happened.
He was dominated defensively. I think Kevon Looney turned into Moses Malone out there. Kevon Looney played absolutely great. Instead of dissing Domantas Sabonis, why don't we give the Warriors some credit? I thought they did a hell of a job making the Kings defense, I mean offense, taking away the Kings offense.
I saw Looney all last year. He is one of the most incredible offensive rebounders.
Yes.
Long threes
yes.
because the ball goes up and it's like he's like a center fielder.
Right.
He makes like over-the-shoulder rebounds because he knows
right.
where it's going.
Yeah.
He's really good at it.
Yeah, and to the Hollinger's point, he's talking about Sabonis was exposed. Well, we saw Sabonis an entire regular season.
Exactly.
We saw him battle against Jokic in the regular season, battle against Anthony Davis in the regular season. And so why can't we just chalk it up? It was a bad matchup. It was a bad series. If what we saw in the postseason is how we're going to, you know, dictate how this season is going to go, well, Kevin Huerter is not going to do anything. The offense is going to struggle. No, it was that playoff series in a vacuum. Sure, Sabonis didn't play as well as he liked, but I don't think this is indicative of a larger problem with him or teams have figured him out. This guy's been in the league a number of years. What we saw from Domantas Sabonis during the regular season is what he's been doing his entire career. It wasn't anything new.
Let me ask you one more thing. Who would you say is the Kings' best player?
De'Aaron Fox.
He's not mentioned in the piece.
What?
I'm just realizing here. I'm looking. I don't see his name. Kevin Huerter. Of course, we said Sabonis. Sabonis in there. Colby Jones, Sasha Vezenkov, Malik Monk, JaVale McGee, De'Avon Mitchell. I don't think there's
a single mention
of De'Aaron Fox in the piece. So I think we could just leave that there.
That is trash. That is come on, John. How do you lead? And it wasn't even just their best player. It was an all-NBA player. It was an all-star, and he doesn't mention. I may have to look at the whole article again and go through it because I can't imagine he did that with any other team. He didn't do it with Luka Doncic. I'm sure he mentioned Luka in his piece. Why would you do that to De'Aaron Fox?
I gotta take a timeout here, but yeah, I can. The Dallas Mavericks. Luka's right there. Kyrie
First
Irving, right
paragraph,
there. Yeah.
But no De'Aaron Fox mentioned at all. That is trash.
We'll take a quick timeout, and then we'll tell you why the Kings need to get off to a fast start this year as the Drive Guys roll on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It had been suggested, I know because I suggested it, that we might see some extracurricular activity, pardon me, in the preseason between Domantas Sabonis and Draymond Green. That's not going to happen. Draymond Green is going to miss the rest of the Warriors preseason.
So no fisticuffs tomorrow. No payback tomorrow night
at Shea
Center.
Yeah, Draymond Green will miss the remaining two games. He's recovering from a left lateral ankle sprain, the Warriors announced today. Also puts the status for the regular season opener up in the air.
Ooh. Okay, long as he's back for that game, the 27th at Golden 1 Center. That's when I want him back. that first game, regular season home opener, you know, that crowd will be lit and breathing fire. Mm-hmm. So I hope we see him then.
He doesn't want any of that smoke.
He don't want that. He ain't making that trip. He don't want to be out there for that.
And maybe they're just resting him, but maybe that's an example of what our caller was talking about. You got a team here already in the Warriors, like one of their older guys is already hurt.
Already, right? Right off the jump. And when you look at what Draymond does for Golden State, there's nobody else that does what he does for that team. And so that's a huge loss. I know his numbers don't jump off the screen at you, but, you know, he really, you know, especially defensively. I was talking to Ron Adams, their assistant coach there the other day, and he talked about how Draymond is sort of like their quarterback. And, you know, I said, you know, because there was some talk, should the Kings go after Draymond this offseason? And me and Ron both agreed the Kings could use a Draymond-type player defensively, that defensive quarterback who sort of knows, or, you know, a defensive free safety, somebody, yes, middle linebacker, yeah, somebody like that, that can see everything, get everybody in position, talking all the time, and really keep everybody together on the string defensively.
He reminds me when the, to your point, when the, remember the Colts, when they won a championship, mm-hmm, and running the Tampa 2, Bob Sanders was a guy that,
yeah,
was a hybrid safety linebacker. He was in the middle of everything.
Yes.
And without him, their defense wasn't the same. Or the Legion of Boom, Earl Thomas. That's what Draymond, right, is for the Warriors.
Yes, exactly. And that's the guy that the Kings need. And they just don't have that yet. And that's why we haven't seen them become a good defensive team. And so I would imagine if you're Monty McNair, you're looking at the roster, sure, it's set. But, you know, if one of those two-way guys becomes available around the trade deadline, I think you got to look at it.
Yeah, I you could see the potential for the fit there, and Draymond was available technically. I think Chris and I talked to Anthony Slater. Mm-hmm. He said he didn't think the Kings reached out to,
really,
Draymond at all. I don't know. Maybe you would know, but I could see why they would have.
Right, right. You know, for all his flaws and faults and everything like that, Draymond Green makes winning plays. He's a very good basketball player. He's a very good team basketball player, and I think his impact on the team doesn't show up in a box score necessarily. You know, they don't win all those championships without Draymond Green, I don't think. And Sacramento could use a player like that. He plays with heart. He plays with passion. He's elite defensively still. And that's somebody, you know, but I'm saying that everybody could use a player like that, right?
Like, but there aren't many players like
exactly
him.
Exactly. That's the thing. There, yeah, aren't many players like Draymond.
And he's done the heavy lifting for them now for, what, 10, 11,
yeah,
years?
Yeah. He's done the dirty work. And sure, they've had Looney. They've had some other big guys. But he's been the one constant in that front court. And, you know, and let's talk about his offense, too. His passing ability. You know, they run a lot of things through him also. And so, you know, as much as people want to get on Draymond, you know, for his stats and everything, he's much better than what his stats would indicate.
Quickly, ESPN came out with another NBA ranking today, but it's a ranking of the most watchable teams. They didn't name the top 10, and the Kings aren't named, so they're in the top 10. We don't know where, but
okay,
they're in the top 10. But what do you think of this? The least watchable team, and this is according to Zach Lowe, least watchable team in the NBA this year is the Washington Wizards.
Wow. Our boy Jordan Poole?
Number 30.
Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pistons 29, Raptors 28, Portland 27, and the Bulls 26. The five least watchable teams in the
NBA.
He
had the Raptors 28?
Yes.
With Pascal and OG and... Ouch. I would say maybe Detroit, but, man, that's tough. That's tough.
He says, it'll be fun watching Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma battle for the team scoring lead.
If you like offense, I think, and if you like,
if you like, know, passing,
guys,
I would.
Right.
I would
if you like guys chucking up shots, I mean, shoot. I think just from the entertainment factor alone, like, why is Jordan Poole pulling up from 35? Why is Kyle Kuzma going 1-on-5 down the floor?
Uh-huh,
like
uh-huh.
That would be entertaining.
But he also says the Wizards had some of the best jerseys in team history, the cherry blossom jerseys last year, but they're not bringing them back. I thought those were terrible. I don't know about you. Did you see?
I'm trying to remember those.
Oh,
They were
very nice costumes, but they were not very nice basketball jerseys, in my opinion. They belonged in some sort of opera about the Far East or something, but I didn't know if they I don't know if they really
was it the
asked
shorts
me.
You didn't like? Like, as I like the top.
Do
like,
you?
Yeah, I like the actual jersey version of them, but I don't like the shorts.
I liked what Stan Van Gundy said. I just don't know if that's the type of thing you want to convey if you're a basketball team, if you're competing. That's how I felt about it. Very nice and artistic, but give me a little edge.
Right. It's a little too soft. It doesn't strike fear the opponent. They're like, not bad, you know. Yeah.
You better watch out or we're going to take you to the museum. Like, really? That's not really doing it. We mentioned this earlier. We've been talking about the Kings here for quite a while, of course, with the season nearly upon us. It would really behoove the Kings to get off to a fast start this year because 17 of their first 18 games are in conference. That's the most conference-heavy schedule in the first 6 weeks of the season.
So, when you look at that, does that mean to you it's difficult or they have an opportunity to put some distance between themselves? They have an opportunity to bank some wins early on.
That means they have an opportunity, but they better take advantage of it, because if you don't, then you're in a hole all of a sudden in the conference standings.
I will say, though, 17 of the first 18 in conference, two against Houston, one against San Antonio, one against Dallas, teams that should be below you in the standings. And so I look at it as an opportunity to really get off to a good start. I'm looking at the schedule now. We talked about Utah, Los Angeles, and Golden State that first weekend. After that, then you got Houston and Portland, OKC at home. OKC is going to be tough. We know that. They're going to be a good team. But that's a game you could win.
By the way, Kyle, is that when the in-season tournament starts, that OKC game? Or
That Friday. Right. Yeah, that Friday, November 10th, in-season tournament will begin. That'll be their first game. And then they got one against San Antonio, Minnesota. Minnesota.
Yeah, I believe so.
And Golden State also. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at this schedule, it is tough because you play a lot of Western Conference teams. But I'll also add, you play a lot of the teams you are better than in the Western Conference. The Houstons, the Dallases, the San Antonios. I think you're better than Minnesota. I'm looking at, you know,
opportunities. Gotcha.
But also to that point, I think tiebreakers may come into factor also. Mm-hmm. You got two against New Orleans back to back, you know, Monday and a Wednesday in New Orleans. You got to win those games. You got multiple games against the Lakers. You got multiple against the Warriors as well. So you have a chance to really not only bank some wins, but also your wins are sending your competition, giving them L's, and so when it comes time to tiebreaker, you'll have the own the tiebreaker, hopefully.
This might be crazy, but I'm a little more respectful of the Spurs than I was before the preseason started. I thought, yeah. Then I watched them against OKC. It's like, okay, they're going to have some nights, I think, where they're going to be really good. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs this year, but I think they're going to have some nights, especially at home, where it's all going to come
together. Is it all Victor? From what you've seen?
A lot of it, but it's not just him. Zach Collins, the center.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
think they're on their way.
They got some, yeah. But that's what we said about the West, right? Every night is going to be a dogfight. You don't have a Wizards on there. You don't have a Pistons in the West. Even Houston, as bad as they made some key moves. They got some players now. Yep. That's going to be a tough game as well. And so the only team, maybe Portland, they got young talent, but they got some young pieces. But outside of that, man, every game is going to be tough.
When we come back, that crazy Charger fan on TV last night, was she even really a fan at all? The truth revealed next. Drive Guys, Sacktown School. Star of the game last night.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Cowboys win over the Chargers. Was Charger super fan. I don't know if You got her allowed to catch her act last night?
I did see her.
Yeah, she was going crazy when the Chargers scored. And then after the interception Herbert threw, she was a picture of dejection. Let's see. There she is. Yeah. So she was actually on McAfee today because this woman, it turns out that some people, at least Pro Football Talk, thought she's in Los Angeles. She's too excited about the Chargers. The Chargers don't have fans. So there was an online conspiracy theory that she was an actress, that she was paid by the team.
I was thinking that, and I was wondering that as well. But she shot that down, though, right?
Yeah, her
she
name
shot
is, that down. Yeah, Marion Doe, D-O, Marion yep. Doe. I am who I am, a mother of four and a crazy Chargers fan. It's overwhelming the world has realized that this is so different because my kids have to deal with this on the regular at their sports games. And so McAfee asked, did the NFL reach out to you? If somebody reached out to me, I'm all for it. But at the end of the day, this is who I am.
This so, is her. Yeah. No, that was tremendous. That was tremendous. And I was listening to the Carmichael Dave show today, and they had somebody on that said they knew her. And
really?
Yeah, she's at the games all the time, super fan. And she's like the leader of that group in that section right there. She rallies everybody, gets everybody pumped up. She's just a super fan. And I love it, man. There's so many people that want to shoot her down and poke fun at her and make, you know, and everything. But I thought she was amazing.
She said, we go to a ton of games. They always get me on the Jumbotron. But I've never been on TV. I didn't realize what had happened until I got home and my kids told me.
Right.
That she had gone viral.
Yeah, and it was Monday Night Football, too, so that's a little added. You know, it's one thing being on the Jumbotron, but now the celebrity that comes with being on Monday Night Football. But, no, you know, and she was heartbroken, right? When they lost, she was tough. Okay, you're just looking at the videos over there. You're just...
She was so excited. And that was the thing that was a little hard to believe because... At the Chargers games, all the fans there, the vast majority, root for the other team. And it's
ouch.
Like, no, you've heard it. You
I know.
And then you see this woman in a Charger jersey. It's like, wait, that can't be right.
Yeah.
But it is. Good it for is. Her.
I would also like to note that the Chargers changed their Twitter X.com profile to her.
Did Good. They really?
Yes. Good.
Let me look that up, Simone. Yes. Let me look that up. Good for
Hashtag
them.
Hashtag new profile pic.
Good what do you do them. If you're the Chargers? What do you do for her?
I don't know what you can. She already is a season ticket holder.
Like, yeah.
What do you do?
She was in the suite, too. She's already in the box.
Right. It's not like she's in a 300 level or the high level. You know, you bring her down onto the field pregame or something. You have her give a motivational speech to the squad or lead them out. You know, like in college, how they have run out. You know, you have her lead them out or something like that.
Yeah. Good for her. That's got to be tough being a Charger fan just because they always lose by 3 points, don't they? I mean,
they're
not a bad team. I know you and I both thought that they were going to win last night, but a lot of tough, tough last-minute losses.
Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, when we talked about excuse me, there's a fly on me right now. I hate flies, just so you know. But one thing we talked about, you know, when it comes to the Chargers, they're a talented team. Like, Justin Herbert's a very good quarterback. He's an upper echelon quarterback. They're getting healthier. And when you look at their schedule, they lost to Miami, played them tough in the opener.
Lost by two. Lost on the last drive, I think.
Right.
Yeah, Herbert
got sacked.
At
Tennessee, lost in overtime by a field goal. Minnesota, you won by four.
Barely won that game.
Vegas, you won by seven. And then you lose by three. And so it's a game of inches, but now they got Kansas City. Coming up, right? And so their record says they're 2-3. To me, they're a better team than that. They got a few games after that where they can stack up some wins, Chicago and New York, then Detroit, Green Bay, you know. And so they'll be in the middle. I got them 9-8 or something like that. You know, it was a tough loss. Herbert, that interception to end the game, he was under duress all night,
Michael
though.
Michael Parsons had a day.
Yeah, exactly. That was the Dallas defense we had seen earlier in this season that didn't show up in that Niners game. I think they said Herbert was pressured on nearly half of his dropbacks, 47% or something like that. And so I don't care how great of a quarterback you are. If you're scrambling and trying to run for your life and you don't have time to get set,
right?
Yeah, you just can't get it done.
So that was last night. Mm-hmm. This coming Monday night, of course, it's the 49ers against the Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings.
And the 49ers had, of course, three key players suffer injuries during that Browns game, positive news on all three. Christian McCaffrey, Debo Samuel, and Trent Williams all have avoided long-term injury, according to Adam Schefter. All have a chance to play against the Vikings next Monday night. That's a little vague, especially in the case of McCaffrey. It's like, okay, well, what happened to him? We don't know, other than that he had the oblique slash rib injury, but the 49ers say it's not a long-term thing and he could play this week.
That's so huge for them. That's huge, you know, because when you looked at the injuries, you could start with Trent, Debo, and CMC. You know, the Trent one, I thought, uh-oh, you know, that could be one that could linger on, last a few weeks. He came back in the game. Debo never returned, and then CMC. And so you could argue you lost two of your best offensive players right there,
right.
Debo and CMC.
And they're without Dre Greenlaw, too.
Yeah, and without Greenlaw on the defensive side. And so then that puts more pressure on Brock Purdy. And I said it earlier, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, you know, maybe I'm resting CMC this week. But it's good news, obviously, because we've talked about it before. The only thing that can derail the Niners is health. Like, and so it's sort of like, you know,
sounds like then you're admitting that their quarterback must be pretty good. If the only thing that can derail them is their health, then it
I said that's
like
what we've talked about. That's not necessarily what I believe. What I believe. I think their quarterback can definitely derail them. I'll tell you what, their quarterback won't win them games. We saw that the other day in Cleveland. He's not going to go out there and say, all right, boys, get on my back. I'm going to lead you to victory. And I'm listening to you got me fired up right now. because I'm listening to Jeff Saturday on ESPN this morning, and he's like, when Brock Purdy needed to rally his squad and drive them down the field,
he did it.
Saturday didn't watch that game, Whitey. You know darn well Brock Purdy didn't all of a sudden pick the defense apart and get the chains moving. He had one first down,
mic drop.
One first down because of a hold pass interference, another first down, a 10-yard completion to Brandon Ayuk that went 28 yards. I mean, the Browns fell apart on that final drive. It wasn't like Brock Purdy made all these amazing throws. And so to hear Jeff Saturday say that, he clearly didn't watch the game.
He played in the NFL, and I don't believe he did. It's interesting.
But you didn't even think. Like, because I thought that was a seminal moment for Brock Purdy. I thought, as I'm watching the game, I'm like, gosh darn it, this guy is going to come down the field, lead him down, and get a win. But sure, he got him in the field goal position, but I didn't think he, you know, made plays to get him that. Like,
no, he missed more.
Right, exactly, in the game. And so if they would have won, then that's what we would have been talking about, though, is that Brock Purdy let him down and got, you know, but they didn't win. And, you know, to hear Saturday saying, oh, man, Brock Purdy in that 2 minute, you know, 2 minutes in the game, he let him down. Not really. When you actually watch the game, not really.
Rookie kicker makes a kick. Brock's a hero again.
Right. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. When we come back, how the 49ers, they don't. Well, there's your. That's a nap.
Yeah. Oh, is that? Yeah. You felt that too, right?
Yeah. How the 49ers have to do something they don't want to do. They have to be like the Cowboys this week. Tell you why and how next here with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.